Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. That day was like any other Saturday in Cana, Nablus, Galilee, or any other town. Good Jews woke up on the Sabbath, ate bread that was prepared before sundown the day before, because no cooking was to be done on the Sabbath. That would have constituted work. At breakfast, they washed down the dates and the figs, but not with the usual hot mint tea, as that would have needed fire, which was also prohibited on the Sabbath. The whole day was geared toward rest, as God, their Creator, rested on the seventh day of creation. On that day, observant Jews walked to the local synagogue, knowing that they were within walking distance that was allowable from their homes. Walking too far was also work. And in that particular village, word had spread that Jesus was in town, and he would be the guest teacher that morning. So people filed into the synagogue with eager anticipation. At the front, the leader gathered the people and said, "Well, hello, good morning, and a very warm welcome to you all on this beautiful day." The Torah was brought out, scripture was read, and the cantor led a song, and prayers were lifted up. Then Jesus stood up to teach, and all eyes were fixed on him. But before he said anything, he spotted a woman walking in at the back, trying not to draw attention to herself, arriving late because her disability, her twisted back, would allow her to walk only so very slowly. One of his disciples was from this village, and he had told Jesus about this woman who had been crippled for 18 years. And Jesus was looking forward to meeting her. And there she was. Already embarrassed for having to shuffle through the crowded room, she was shocked and surprised when Jesus called her out. "Shalom, madam. Won't you come to the front?" She looked at Jesus with this confused look, wondering whether he was talking to her, and muttered to herself, "Oy vey, me? Doesn't he know that women sit separately and in the back at the synagogue? Doesn't he know that I keep quiet way in the back because over all these years, I think that's how they want me to be? Doesn't he know that I'm not supposed to be noticed because being crippled is the same in their eyes as being cursed? Really, Jesus? I'm here to observe the Sabbath, to find some peace and not to be seen. And after all these years, I'm used to it." But on that day, Jesus wanted to see her, and he sought her out. For this woman, it had been too many years since she had been disabled and then ignored, that she no longer dared to ask for healing. She learned to sit quietly But she came because somehow she still might encounter God. So as she walked toward Jesus, feeling already very confused, she was shocked when he put his hand on her shoulder and declared, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And as she felt her crooked back straighten and felt whole for the first time in 18 years, she could only say, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." But even then, the leader still could not and would not see her. A miracle before his very eyes, 18 years of suffering, and now her back was straight and her spirit healed. Yet what crossed his mind was whether a Sabbath law was broken. He responded, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." And he thought to himself, "She's been crippled for 18 years already. So what's another day? Doesn't the law clearly state that no work is to be done on the Sabbath?" But he missed the point. Yes, the Sabbath was meant for rest, because left on our own, we would not rest. But this wasn't about work or rest. The Sabbath is about God, God who rested, and we rest so that we know who ultimately is in control, and we can then let God be God. We rest and we connect to our identity as people of God, and we rest and we notice that it is God who holds all things together. There's a Jewish saying, "More than the Jews have kept the Sabbath, the Sabbath has kept the Jew." We rest to know who we are and whose we are. And we rest to experience God and know that we are God's own. So on that day, Jesus knew that the issue wasn't about the requirements of the Sabbath. What was at stake was whether on the Sabbath we see God and we see each other, and especially those who desperately need God to see them. And sometimes, maybe more often than we would like to admit, our beliefs, our rules, they get in the way of our seeing. Jesus saw this woman, but he knew that the leader of the synagogue could not even bear to see her. Eugene Peterson, in the Message paraphrase of this passage, put it this way: "Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out of water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years?" Jesus sees this woman as the daughter of Abraham, not someone who was less than a farm animal. And he not only healed her so that she can physically stand upright, he also invited her to take her rightful place as God's very own. She was freed not just from her ailment, but from the bondage that others have put on her. She was freed from being invisible, and on that day, she was freed to experience true rest and true Sabbath. Glory, hallelujah. On our Sabbath day, on this day, If Jesus were to walk into St. Francis and into our lives, whom might Jesus be calling forward to experience true rest? And whom might God want to acknowledge as God's very own? Might it be one of us? This morning, perhaps one of us slipped in and sat quietly and found enough strength to be here because we're continually drawn to the holy, so we made it here. Perhaps one of us is wondering if God sees our struggle and our pain, and we wonder if this community would accept us as we are. Perhaps one of us has lost our sense of being a child of God, or you've been carrying a heavy burden by yourself for a while. If so, would you let God see you today and help us to see you today? Because after all, we're on this journey together. Or might God be calling us to see more clearly those who are daughters and sons of God, people in our lives who desperately need healing? Our formalities and pleasantries, our habits and comforts and preconceptions, might they be our Sabbath laws that keep us from truly seeing others? What is it that keeps us from seeing each other today? Is it someone's disability or appearance? Or skin color, or sexual orientation? Or is it their political persuasion or social class? Someone that we have tried hard not to see, but they just keep appearing in our lives day after day. They just might be waiting for us to see them today. So how might God truly see us today? And how might God be challenging us to see others today? Sons and daughters of God, there is no one more day. Our work is urgent, and it is important, and it is this: to see those around us as God sees them. May the Lord of our Sabbath help us all to find true rest in God. And may God, who sees, open our eyes and our hearts to truly see the people that God has brought into our lives. Amen.